Oh, that's right. Ooh! Goodness gracious, Lord! That's good news! Some of us walk around here like we don't have no joy. And I know that's not proper English. But that's how some of us walk around. You see them, you don't see the smile on the face. Right? And there could be reasons for that, but some of us, that's a habit. We've been given the gift of joy. We've been given the gift of God's Word. God's Word. John 17, verse 8 says, "For I have given them the words which you gave me. They have received them and certainly know that I came from you, and they have believed that you have sent me." John 17, verse 8. We have the Word of God. And what did we learn about the Word of God this weekend? I hear it. That the Word points to
Jesus.
I can't hear you.
Jesus.
Right. Are you guys getting the theme here? Are you understanding what's going on with you and Jesus, with me and Jesus? Are you understanding that? Listen, I'm 51. And I was sharing this with somebody yesterday. I feel like I'm just like, I don't know, it seems like I feel like I'm just understanding some things. Yeah. Right? Even though I've been walking, I was baptized over 30 years ago. Right? Went to AC, did all that good stuff. Right? I don't want to sound like Paul here, but you can start listening to all these things. Right? I am the chief ambassador. I've been here. I've been in this church. I've worked with the youth. I've done this. I've done that. And I have. But here's the thing. For some reason, it's like the way someone explained it to me. I was at that same conference with Pastor T. And someone explained it to me. This is your year of jubilee. Mm-hmm. Right? God is, because I was wondering, why all of a sudden now, Lord? Yes. And someone said, have you thought about this? Have you thought about the Father saying, now, Richard, I want to release you of your troubledness? Mm-hmm. Have you thought about that? I said, goodness gracious, Lord. And I never thought about that. Why now? Why now is he dealing with me and trying to release me of some stuff that I've had deep, deep, deep down? Why? Why now? Because he's that good. That's good. I mean, he's given me the year of the Jubilee. And I've been walking in that newness and that refreshness. I'm telling you, there's something there. Man, when you say, man, but now when I read the scriptures, it's not like, well, Pastor G said that we need to read, you know, all the time, you know, we got to do this, that, and the other thing now. No, I just want to. I want to see what Jesus has for me today in his word. I want to encounter him in the scriptures in his word. Right? I want to have a real relationship with him. You heard that word this weekend? Right? Do you want to have a relationship with your Lord and your Savior? He's given us his word to help facilitate that. He gives us the gift of glory and perfection and oneness with the Father. John 17, 22 and 23 says, I have given them the glory which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. How many times have you heard about reconciliation and trying to come together? Right, that's a big thing now. How do we be one now? How can we work in oneness, even in the church? What, you know, we were at that conference, and those were some of the questions that were coming up. And the answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfect in unity. And that the world may know. And that the world may know. So the world is something about what we're doing here that's going to impact the world. Amen. So that the world may know that you have sent me. Have you thought about have you thought about that, church? That the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. So we see now how one way the world is going to know who Jesus is. And it's by the love that we have. It is about the unity that we have for each other. Think about that. What's our country lacking most of all nowadays?
Unity.
Everybody wants to be the loudest. Everybody wants to spout what they believe is to be right. And I don't want to hear anything else. They don't want to hear your point of view, just my point of view. And that's all that matters. Imagine if, again, I talked about, imagine a world where we, the church, were honoring who we really are as a new creation. Imagine if we could be that group that could come together, that could worship together, that can take communion together, blacks and whites, young and old, in the unity that has been given to us by Jesus. Imagine if the world could really see that.
Goodness gracious, Lord.
We got some work to do, because sometimes the church works against itself, to be honest. Sometimes we're not proclaiming Jesus like we should. Sometimes we're proclaiming something else. We're proclaiming building projects. We're proclaiming public works. We're proclaiming social justice. Not that those things aren't important, but what we should be proclaiming first and foremost is Jesus, who gives us the gift of glory, perfection, and oneness with the Father. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit. As it says in Acts 2:38, we all know this scripture by heart. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We forget about the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we forget about him sometimes. The gift of the Holy Spirit. We've been given the gift of eternal life, as it says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." So that's what we have. You want to talk about a content, you want to talk about a full life. Those of us who know the name Jesus, those of us who really see God, Father, Son, and Spirit for who he really is, as that relationship has always existed for eternity in perfect unity, in perfect communion, and us being called as children of God into that relationship. Imagine if we thought about that, how much more content, how much more unified we could be. How do the contented live their lives? How should we live our lives? First, by understanding the purposes of God. Not understanding what I'm or what you're trying to accomplish or what your priorities are in your life, but what God's purposes are for you. And we've heard it. God's main purpose is for us to be with him forever as his children. We've heard that at least three times this weekend, as his children. This puts our circumstances, our physical needs, and our physical desires into perspective, right? And if we think about what God's purposes are, his purposes are chief. His purposes are first. His purposes are primary. And his purposes are for us to make us his children and to be with us forever. Could you be content thinking about that and living that out? Instead of worrying about your physical needs or your circumstances or your desires? As children of God, the Father wants us to be perfected in Christ by the Holy Spirit. So now think then about your circumstances and what I just said. The Father wants us to be perfected in Christ by the Holy Spirit. How do we get perfected? By resting in Jesus. How else are we perfected? Right? And also, whatever the circumstances are, however you have to rest in Jesus, your circumstances are going to be such that you learn how to rest in Jesus. You're going to have to learn how to rest in Jesus. One of my prayers for this year And I'm on the board of my kid's school. And we had a board meeting, and they were going around asking, hey, does anybody have anything that you want us to pray for you about? And I said, yes. I told you already I have 5 kids. I got a busy job, right? Now help, I'm Pastor T's right-hand man at church. We got a lot of stuff going on. And sometimes it just gets crazy busy and I can't take it. And I want to learn how to rest in Jesus' rest. So I said, please pray for me so that I can learn how to rely on the Spirit so that I can rest in His rest. Because it's easy for me to just get going all the time. All I got to do is get up and try to feed my 5 kids, right? Then I got to go out and make money so that I can feed those 5 kids and send the other ones to college. And I got one getting ready to go to college, and one's playing soccer. There's a lot of stuff, right? There's a lot of stuff. And with that comes anxiety and frustrations. You know, and sometimes Pastor T and I were talking, sorry to invoke your name so much, we've been talking a lot, right? You know, we were praying the other day, and he was sharing with me in our prayer group as we were praying at church. He was feeling the same way. Just was so much stuff to do. So much stuff to do. But Jesus wants us simply to be who we are, right? So how do we be? And I'm praying about that. Lord, how can I just be who you want me to be without me running around trying to figure things out? That's just my nature. That's just my nature. But that, no, but that's not good. So Jesus wants us, the Father wants us to be perfected in Christ by the Holy Spirit. So that's one way to be contented in their lives. The second way is by practicing the presence of God. Oh, what do you mean by that? Practicing the presence of God. That sounds so theological. Right? That sounds so... What is that? Practicing the presence of God. I know that sounds kind of... Here's what I mean by practicing the presence of God. That's learning how to turn around and see Jesus in your life. Because we know Jesus is with us all the time, right? But sometimes we don't see Him. We're faced this way. He's behind us. And we're moving along, and He's calling us, right? Sometimes we just have to learn to hear Him calling our name and telling us to look at me. Yes. Look at me. Don't look at your circumstances. Yes. Look at me. Yes. Don't look to your spouse for your emotional healing and everything you need from that. Look to me. Yes. Don't look to your job and to your hands as your sustenance. Look at me. Right? Don't look at the TV and all the headlines. Don't look to your government to answer these burning questions. Look at me. Right? Don't look at your pastors and expect them to be all in all. Look at me. Thank you. And thank you. Look at me. Right? Don't look at your children as something that gives you a certain level of satisfaction or dissatisfaction. Look at me. Don't look at your wheelchair, right? Don't look at your sickness. Don't look at your struggles. Look at me. That's what I mean by practicing the presence of Jesus. We have to learn to see Him. We have to turn around. Sorry, this thing's coming off here. We have to learn to hear Him. We have to learn to turn around and see Him because He's there. Instead of looking at everything else. Because like I said earlier, when we look at other things else, we have a tendency to make them idols in our lives. Yeah. Right? And then we want to turn to the idols for answers. Yeah. When Jesus is saying, look at me. So in the Spirit, we have to reform our hearts and minds. That's what we have to do. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. We think about a lot of other stuff, right? But do we think about those things? And I read that scripture differently now. And I want to read it to you like I read it now. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whosoever with a capital W is true. Whosoever is noble. Whosoever is right. Whosoever is pure. Whosoever is lovely. Whosoever is admirable. Since Jesus is excellent and praiseworthy, think about him. Think about him. Oh, man. Goodness gracious, Lord. Think about him. This microphone's going to drive me a little nutty here. Think about Jesus. Right? Think about him. Not all the other stuff that we fill our plates with, that we put on our plates every day. Worry, strife, financial situation, bad relationships, good relationships, job security. Who's the president? What's he saying now? What's he tweeting? Who got confirmed Supreme Court? What else? Instead of worrying about all those things, who the Ravens beating this Sunday? You know, all kind of stuff, right? Oh, they're gonna beat. When I found out Pastor T was a New England Patriots fan, I honestly was like, what? How can you? You can't be just two things. You can't be a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. And in Baltimore, you cannot be a New England Patriots fan. I'm sorry. I heard somebody say something smart. I'm glad we can have some fun. Don't think about those things, man. Don't think about it. Pastor T, don't think about New England Patriots. And if you do, brother, I will have to rebuke you in the name of God. Right? Don't think about those things. Think about Jesus. Think about him. Right? And finally, those of us who want to live contented lives, we do so by fellowshipping with God's people. Fellowshipping with God's people. Tony said it, and he took sort of the last part of my message here, but in Genesis 1, verse 26, we were created in God's image, in God's likeness. So you know who God, Father, Son, and Spirit is. We talked about that. God, Father, Son, and Spirit have always existed in perfect relationship forever, for eternity. Father, Son, and Spirit. And so when they say, let us make man in our image, it's not just let us make him to look like us. It's let us make them to relate like us. Right? So this is the best way I can say it. I need you because I was created to need you. Right? So when I'm thinking about some other things, when I'm not thinking about Jesus, if I'm thinking about my circumstances, I need you to say, look at Jesus. Yes. When I'm struggling with abandonment issues and my self-worth before the Father and wondering, Lord, what's going on with me? I need my brother-in-law to come tell me, look at Jesus. Yes. Right? Look at Jesus. When you're suffering loss and you're questioning life itself, I need you to say, I love you. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Right? That's I need you. And you know what? You need me. You need me. We need each other. Because we were created in God's image. We were created to relate to one another. Right? Because that's how God is. He's a relational God. You've heard it said before, and I'll say it again. In the center of the universe, in all the created order, is a relationship. We're used to thinking about God as this esoteric power, who's way off, this great eternal God, almighty, who's not really interacting with his creation. But I'm here to tell you, that's not the God in the Bible. We serve God, Father, Son, and Spirit, who speaks to us in a small voice. Right? Who sent his son, Jesus Christ, who learned obedience. He knows everything we go through. He learned obedience through the things he suffered. So when he's up there in heaven making intercession on our behalf, he really knows what he's talking about. Because he's been there and he's done that, right? And so we're not talking about a God that doesn't relate to us. We're talking about a God who wants his children to be with him forever. Forever perfected in Jesus by the Spirit. Let's see here. If I have this. So I do have mine. Look at this. Look at this. Why my thing is not working? So anyway, we're called and created to be a part of this. Right? And that movement, right? That movement, that beauty. But I got your analogy. It was beautiful. Right? If I could make it glow and do all the pretty things I had it doing last night, it'd be good, right? And in that movement is the relationship that we have with the Father, Son, and Spirit, and the relationship that we have with each other. So you can't go on your own, Carla, and do your own thing. Because if you try to, I'm going to call you and say, Carla, where you at? Right? Carla, where you at? First, I'm going to talk to Mel and say, what's up with that woman God gave you? Right? But no, I'm going to call and say, where you at? Right? We need each other because we have to remind ourselves about all this that we've talked about if we want to live the life. I like to call it the ultimate life that we've been called to in Christ. Christ. You feel me. That's what I really wanted to say. Right? Okay. Alright, so my concluding thought here, I have an actual video I'd like to show you. So we'll go ahead and show the video, then I'll come up and I'll make one more comment.
So my whole life, I've been an achiever, and I don't really know exactly why, but somewhere along the line, I picked up on this message. I bought into this message, I guess maybe from my culture, that if you achieve certain things, then life will be good. And so I honestly had this sense that I had to do something of value in order to be someone of value. It just seems like if you ever think that purpose is a destination, you're going to end up with a midlife crisis because you never get there. At least that's been my experience, and I've seen other people go through that. That lifestyle is just exhausting. It's just exhausting. And you just work and you work and you work and you work and you work. And your whole joy is wrapped up in what others say about you. The Bible says a lot about purpose, and a lot of that is found in Jesus and in a relationship with God. You know, the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. For me, that's my purpose. But I can't just do that on my own. Like, I have to be connected to the source. Like Jesus talks about, he uses the analogy of a vine and branches. And he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. If you are a branch broken off from the vine, if you're broken off from the source, you wither away. You have to be connected. And for me, my purpose is found in that connection. My purpose is in this very moment being connected to the source of life. Because if I try to go off and achieve to fill up my little, you know, insecurities in some wonderful accolades or some wonderful compliments that I get from somebody, I mean, that's stupid. That's a waste of time. But if I can stay connected to the source of life and just make myself available to be used, to the scriptures say to be streams of living water flowing through me, that's beautiful. Like that's my purpose.
So if you want to live the ultimate life, you want to live contented lives, stay connected to the source of life. If you want to live the ultimate life, and you want to be contented, stay connected to the source, capital S, of life.